One of the concepts that keeps on recurring in our perek as we begin learning perek Kira is, even if whether we learn Lishas Tanan, whether we learn Lachs Tanan, whether we learn if the halacha is that even Shia, even putting food on the oven before Shabbos, requires grufa ktuma, or if we learn that she is actually permissible even if the oven is not goruf or katum, but everybody will agree that chazora, putting something back on the fire on Shabbos, is prohibited unless the oven is goruf or katum. So no matter what the halacha is, critical halacha is to know what goruf and katum means, and particularly how to relate goruf and katum, grufa and ktuma, to modern day ovens. So in order to understand what the halacha is regarding grufa and ktuma in our ovens, we need to understand what grufa and ktuma means in the ovens that they had, ovens that were obviously fueled by coals, as the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah says, Kirish is ikub kasha gvova, nois lantavsho. If straw was the material of fuel, then you may put a tavshal on it. However, the gefis of the eitzim, if gefis or eitzim, coals are the fuel, la yiktoin, you may not put on, again, as we will learn in the Gemara, and we'll discuss the Mitzvah Shem hopefully in future Shiurim, at Shiyigrev or Shiyitin as Eifer. And when we learn the words La Yitin at Shiyigrev, we find in the Rishonim three opinions: what is the definition and how do we accomplish Grifa? The Ramban and the Rashba are of the opinion that all of the coals must be moved away. And actually, it's based on Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says, Hagoyrif tzorich letateya biyodoy. He has to completely sweep away all of the coals. Hado Omra, continues the Yerushalmi, tzorich shiyigroiv kol tzorchoy. You have to completely remove all of the coals. The Rambam is a little more lenient. He says it's impossible to get all the coals out, but the Rambam's opinion is that one must attempt to remove all the coals, but if you weren't successful in removing all of the coals, as long as you try to remove all of the coals, that is adequate. The Balamor and the Ran actually disagree. And they hold that just moving the coals to the side and putting the pot on the part where you don't have coals, that is adequate. And actually, they have a very nice raya to their pshat. Because as we will learn further in our perek, the Mishnah is discussing Akira. And as we will, in Mitzvah Shem, learn that a tanner, which the Mishnah later in our perek identifies of having a higher or stronger level of heat, by a tanner the halacha is that even grufa ktuma would not help. And the question is, if grufa and ktuma mean that you're taking away all of the coals, so what's the difference of the degree of heat? But if we follow this opinion of the Rishonim, that you're just removing, you're pushing them to the side, but you're not completely removing them from the oven, it's very understandable. By a Kira, where we start with a lower degree of heat, and we now went and pushed those coals to the side, that'll be enough. By a Tanner, which has a higher degree of heat, and all I did was just push those coals to the side, that doesn't solve the problem. And since it doesn't solve the problem, That's why the Mishnah later on in our Perek says that Guf and Tuma will not be adequate by a Tara. But of course, as we understand, our ovens aren't fueled with coals. And since our ovens aren't fueled with coals, a discussion if what you need to do with the coals is obviously not the point of our shiur. Rather, the point of our shiur is to discuss ketumah, which ketumah means that the coals were covered. And there's a very fundamental machloikus rishonim as to what is the requirement of ketumah, and not just what is the requirement of ketumah, but why ketumah is an adequate etzah, an adequate method to be able to put the pot on the fire, and therefore we will be able to understand what is the definition of ketumah in modern day ovens. So we have here a machloikis rishonim. Rashi says, oy at shiiten efer. Rashi, in defining in our Mishnah ketumah, says, al gabi gecholim l'chasoysom ulitzanonim. You put coals on the fire, l'chasoysom ulitzanonim, to cover them and make them cold. So actually, if we learn what Rashi says, Rashi is not saying that the coals have to be removed. Rashi is saying that you just have to cover them. But if you understand Rashi, Rashi is also saying that there are two conditions that must be met. One is lechasoysom, they have to be covered, ulatsananam, and to cool them off. What does Rashi mean? So before we understand what Rashi means, let's just quote the opinions of the Rishonim, how ketumah is accomplished. The Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran all are of the opinion just putting some covering, some ash on top of the coal is enough. And actually, as we will obviously understand, the Ran, in his lenient approach towards ketumah, is consistent with his lenient approach towards grifa. Because just like by Goruf, the Ran says, you just have to push the coals to the side and that's enough. Here the Ran is saying, you have to cover some of the ash. But what's difficult to understand are that some of those Rishonim that we quoted earlier that said that by grifa, you have to remove all of the coals, by ketumah, they're saying that no. All you have to do by ketumah is just cover with a minimum cover of ash, and that is good enough. So, we need to understand how is ketumah accomplished, how is grifa accomplished, and why indeed do they even work. So there's a machloikus rishonim. Rashi, later in Amasechta, and that's Lamed Zayin on the base, Divrei Amaskel Shani, says that the reason ketumah works is because he's showing that he's not interested in this fire anymore. The Rambam says that what ketumah accomplishes is that he's mesiach das. He's not thinking about this. I put ashes on it. This fire no longer interests me. The Ramban, the Rashba, say that what ketumah does is that I ruin the fire. I ruin the fire. I covered it with ash. Others, however, explain that what the ketumah accomplishes is that the ketumah is a hecker. The ketumah is a hecker that I'm showing that I will remember not to be mechata b'gecholim. Because what's the reason we can't leave something on the fire? particularly if we learn that the Mishnah is Lishes Tanan. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even from Friday, we're not allowed to put something on the oven. So now, we know, and we learned the Mishnah earlier in our Masechta that was very explicit. Pais Gemaya Lagina. We're allowed to open up a sprinkler on Friday afternoon that should continue sprinkling on the field, on the garden, all of Shabbos. There's no Shabbos is Shabbos, not Friday. So we've learned a number of times. The concern is Shem Yechata B'Kholim. We're not worried what happens on Friday. Friday is not Shabbos. We're worried that you may come to do a malacha on Shabbos. But say these Rishonim, that if I have the ash on top of the coals, so now, if I have the ash on the coals, now I'll remember if I'm about to stir those coals, I'm not allowed to stir those coals. Those coals actually may, that's an issur. So a heker is all I need to do. So now, let's understand. If we learn, like Rashi seems to learn, that grief and ketima accomplish the same thing. That grief and ketima are lessening the fire, and therefore, just like by grifa, the halacha will be that you have to move, says the Yerushalmi, you have to move all of the ash, all of the coals out of the oven. So too by ketima, you have to really diminish the heat. But if that's the case, so why is covering enough? The answer will be that covering will not be enough. Covering will only be enough if you cover it, according to these opinions, to the degree that your source of heat is diminished. So why don't you say the same by grifa? So the Rishonim already asked this question. And we're trying to make a very obvious distinction between grifa and ketima. By ketima, you could cover all of your coals. By grifa, if you missed one coal and your coal is still there, so you pushed it to the side, but the coal is still there and you could still stir that coal. So you have no other option but to remove the coals entirely. However, if we learn pshat and ketima is that we have to make a heker, or we have to show that we're mesiach das, so heker is not only by removing the coals, pushing the coals to the side. Normally my coals are spread out over the entire oven, and here I push my coals to the side. So I don't have to take the coals completely out. I could just remove and put them to the side. Just like by ketima, putting some ash, even if I didn't diminish the fire, I made a heker, and that's enough. So in other words, what we're learning now is that these two machlokes are very connected. If we say that the point is heker, so pushing the coals to the side or putting a minimal cover on top of the coals is adequate. If, however, we learn that you need to do something regarding the fire itself, you have to diminish the fire. So by grifa, the only way to completely diminish the fire is to remove the coals. Because as long as you have a coal uncovered there, you haven't done anything regarding that source of heat. So the halacha will be you have to remove all of the coals. And by ketima, it will only be considered a valid ketima if you diminish the fire. Not diminishing the fire will not be adequate. But if we think about this deeper, we'll actually see that throughout the sugyas that we're about to learn, the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, this concept keeps on recurring. The concept keeps on recurring. What is the definition of grifa? What is the definition of ketima? And how is ketima accomplished? The Mishnah, as we read at the beginning of this shiur, says that if my source of heat was kash or gvava, if they were straw, then the halacha is that it's mutter. And the Rishonim debate, why is it different if it's kash or gvava versus if it's coals? So some Rishonim explain that kash gvovo, coals, straw, by definition, isn't going to make a coal. And since they're not going to make a coal, the concern of Shema Yechata B'Kholim doesn't exist. Because where is Shema Yechata applicable? Shema Yechata is only applicable if I... where is the concern of our Mishnah, the whole Perek applicable? Only where I'm concerned for Shema Yechata. But in a situation where I'm not concerned for a Shema Yechata, the halacha is that I could put on. And here, these things don't make a coal, there's no Shema Yechata. That's one approach in the Rishonim. But there's another approach in the Rishonim. The other approach in the Rishonim is that fire that's made by straw is going to get extinguished very quickly. And since it's going to get extinguished so very quickly anyway, we need not be worried, and the halacha is that you could use it as a source of fire. Your fire is not going to be here long term. So the Bi'ur Halacha mentions a very interesting question. The Bi'ur Halacha in Siman Reish Nun Gimel Erechayim Sif Aleph in Divrei HaMaskil Afilu asks, what would be the halacha if somebody used a lot of straw? Would that change the situation? Or the Mishnah says kashi gvava, and it makes no difference if it's a lot of straw or not a lot of straw. What is the question of the Bi'ur Halacha based on? If we say the pshat, that the reason kash ugvava are not a problem is because kash ugvava don't make a coal, so it doesn't make a difference if you have a lot of kash or you don't have a lot of kash. It doesn't make a coal. And if it doesn't make a coal, I have nothing to be concerned about. If, however, we learn pshat is that I'm anyway using something that's going to get extinguished quickly. That's not true. When I use a lot of kash, it's going to take a very long time for it to get extinguished. And therefore, what is the pshat in this machloikah? And therefore, according to the Rav Rishonim, if you use a lot of kashu gvava, then the Mishnah's heter would not apply. And even by kashu gvava, whatever the halacha is by coals, would be by kashu gvava. What is the machloikah? The machloikah in Rishonim is the same machloikah as we've been learning by Grufa and by Ketuma, and actually now we're saying is the machloikah by kashu gvava as well. The machloikas Rishonim is, what is the heter? Is the heter because I have a heter, or is the heter because I don't have a fire? If the heter of our Mishnah is because I don't have a fire, so it makes no difference how much kashuk vav I use. It doesn't make a difference. I don't have a real fire. Kashuk vav don't produce coals. If, however, the heter of our Mishnah, if we say that the heter of our Mishnah is based on a heker that I see that the fire is going out, so only when I used a normal amount of kashuk vava, and the fire will extinguish itself fairly quickly, do I have a heker and I won't do chitu b'gecholim. On the other hand, when I have a lot of kashuk vava, so I don't have a heker. If anything, it's the opposite of a heker. Why did you put in a lot of kashuk vava? You put in a lot of kashuk vava because you want to ultimately keep that fire going. And therefore, there, the halacha would be, even the kashu gvava, the halacha would be that it's asur. But actually, as we continue analyzing this question of what is the heter of gruf and ktuma, we have a much more fundamental question, because it's a much more fundamental issue. We have here machloikas rishonim. If we look at Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi makes a very interesting statement. Rashi's statement is that the reason you're not allowed to use the Adshi Yigrov Hagecholim, and Rashi says Mishum the Mice of Hevel V'Tama Parishna V'Perek Deleil Shem Yichat V'Cholim. So Rashi is adding a whole new element to our Mishnah. Rashi's saying, you know why you're not allowed to leave something on the fire? Because leaving something on the fire is Hatmona, and Hatmona is Asur. Hatmana, as we learned in the previous parak, actually we're going to learn in the next parak as well, is Asur on Erev Shabbos, the Dovra Mois of Heaven. So Rashi is learning that the issue in Parshat Pshat and Rashi, and this is the way most Rishonim understand Rashi's opinion, that Rashi is learning that Pshat and Am Mishnah is because we're referring here to the situation of a dover of Hatmon. Ask Tosfos, if our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Hatmona, so then what does Grufa Ketuma help? Grufa Ketuma doesn't change the fact that these coals are mice of Hevel. And as we just learned in the previous parak, Hatmona on Friday afternoon is Asur. Hatmona on Friday afternoon is Asur B'davar Mice of Hevel. And by just pushing the coals to the side or covering the coals, you haven't made them no longer be in Davar HaMais of Hevel. And Rashi, therefore, Tosfos says that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Hatmona. Because Tosfos' opinion is that and that's the halacha, that the only time something is considered Hatmona is when the food is completely enveloped. And in our Mishnah, the food is not completely enveloped. Because in our Mishnah, the food is on top of the fire. And when it's on top of the fire, that's not called Hatmona. So Tosfos is asking a great question on Rashi. If our Mishnah is speaking about Hatmona, then what does Grufa Ketuma work? So says the Rishonim obviously asked this, try to defend Rashi. And there are a number of opinions in the Rishonim how to defend Rashi. Rav Haigoin and Rabbeinu Chananel say that Rashi is now referring to a situation where the food is on the fire. Grufa Ketuma is only when the food is like on a tripod. But if the food will be directly on the fire, that won't be considered Gruf. That would be a problem of Atmana. Gruf Ketuma, the Mishnah speaking about a case where the food is raised above the fire, like on a tripod. And now the Mishnah says, besides that, you also have to have Gruf Ketuma. The Ramban has a whole different approach to Rashi. The Ramban's approach is that the Mishnah actually is speaking about two separate issues. The Mishnah, according to Rashi, is speaking about Hatmona, and the Mishnah is also referring to situation of Grufa of Shia. And the Ramban learns that Rashi agrees that these are two separate issues. And our Mishnah is not speaking about Hatmona. Rashi spoke about Hatmona. Says the Ramban, Rashi was just reviewing why Hatmona is Asur. Because the same reason Hatmona is Asur, Shia and Chazara are Asur. All because of Shem Yechat B'Kachor. So according to the Ramban, there is no Machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos, and Rashi would agree that this is not considered Hatmona. If you don't have the food, the pot, completely enveloped. But interesting to note, the Pnei Yeshua has a different shot. The Pnei Yeshua says, of course, just doing Grufa Ketuma doesn't make your coal no longer be a davar ha'mais of hevel. And says the Pnei Yeshua, if Rashi is learning that our Mishnah's concern is Hatmona, and therefore whatever you accomplish with Grufa Ketuma, you're still being matman b'davar ha'mais of hevel, says the Pnei Yeshua, there is a reason. Because our Mishnah, the heter of Grufa Ketuma is a heker. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, chiddush gadol ad ma'od. As much as Hatmona is Asur on Friday afternoon, but Dover HaMais of Hevel, if you have a hecker, you have no problem. And it's very understandable what he says. Because the whole concern is Shem Yechata. And as soon as you have a hecker, you need not be worried about Shem Yechata. So according to the Pnei Yeshua, we have now a Gevaldig Chiddush. Whatever hecker takes place, everything becomes mutter. And even Hatmona B'davar HaMais of Hevel becomes mutter. And therefore, it's clear that the Pnei Yeshua is saying that Rashi's opinion of Grufa Ketuma means Heker. So as we now very clearly see, there's a very big machlokes here, how to understand why Grufa and Ketuma work. Do Grufa Ketuma work because it diminishes the fire? Or does Grufa Ketuma work because you need a Heker? And there'll be many nafkuminas lahalocha. It's important to point out what pushes Rashi, says the Meiri already, to learn that our Mishnah is speaking about Hatmona. Posh Pshat, the Mishnah's Tosfos Pshat is correct. So the Meiri says what drove Rashi into that understanding is that Rashi says the end of the previous parak speaks about Hatmona. The next parak we're going to learn also speaks about Hatmona. And therefore, Rashi found it difficult to agree that our Mishnah is speaking about anything else other than Atmana as well. But actually, as we continue to learn the various sugyas that Emet Hashem we're going to be learning in this parak, this issue of what is Grufa Ketuma and what makes Grufa Ketuma work keeps on coming up and again and again. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says, Toshma, Domra Safra, Omra Chia, Kitma, if you did Ketima, Vnesnapsa, and then the fire came back again, Sanchala, we could do Smicha next to that over, Vafmakaimala, Vnoitlmeno, Umaxirala, Shmamina. So the question there was regarding smicha, but the question where we see clearly that kitma v'neslapsa is mutter. And the question is obvious. Why is kitma v'neslapsa mutter? Why, if the ketima is no longer here, shouldn't I have a problem? And actually, as we learn the Gemara further on this Amid, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amid, the Gemara says, "Gecholim sha'amamu," if the coals are dying out, "Oishenasan la nurish shapeshtin," or you put on top of them small strips of pishtin, "Harei ketuma." So when I learned this Gemara, I automatically had a question. I had actually two questions. One question is, if you have Gechomel and Sha'amimu, that means the coals are going out by themselves. If the coals are going out by themselves, I didn't do anything. Isn't the definition of Ketuma that I did something? Why does the Mishnah say, why is Gechomel and Sha'amimu fine? That's one question I had. Then I had even another question. The Mara says, that if I put on top of them Nurishal Pishtin, the halacha is that it's fine. And here too I had a question. Of course it's fine. What's the difference if I put ash on top of it, or I put Nurishal Pishtin? Why is there a difference? I believe that the Gemara here is trying to teach us a chiddush. And the Gemara is not just trying to teach us a chiddush, but the Gemara is defining that Ketima actually has two ways of accomplishing it. There's one pshat in Ketima of Heker. That's one approach. That's one way Ketima works. And another way that Ketima works is because the fire is diminished. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that either of those two situations are adequate that it should be considered Ketima. And now we can understand this Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Kitna v'neslapsa. Your fire is as strong as ever. V'neslapsa. And if you want to be even more direct when we look at this, the Gemara, if we look on Daf Lamed Zayin on the base, doesn't just use the words kitma v'neslapsa. The Gemara says kitma v'hovara. So kitma v'hovara. It's the same fire as you had. How could you? And the Gemara says that that's considered an adequate ketima. How could that be an adequate ketima? The answer is there are two types of ketima. There's a ketima that accomplishes a heker. And once you have a heker, that's enough. And therefore, I don't care if it's neslapsa. And then the Gemara Namah Beis takes it a step further. I don't even care if it's huvara. I don't even care if that fire comes back. You know why? Because I did a heker. The ash is still there covering that fire. The fact that it wasn't able to prevent that fire from growing back doesn't bother me. And therefore, it'll be considered an adequate ketima. It is interesting to point out, however, that Rav Moshe in a tshuva asks if that is indeed the case, that kutma v'neslapsa kutma v'hovaro is still considered adequate, so then what would be the halacha, says Rav Moshe, if your blech fell off on Shabbos? Can you still put food on that fire? Isn't that a case of kutma v'hovaro? So Rav Moshe says no. And Rav Moshe's pshat, the way we're learning the Gemara, is beautiful. What does Rav Moshe say? Rav Moshe says that if your blech fell off, you no longer have a heker. And therefore, you can't say that that is a situation of ketima. So now everything comes together beautifully. Kutma, one definition of ketima is heker. Heker is accomplished by putting ash. But it's only considered a situation of heker if that ash remains constantly on the fire, because you have your heker. The fact that the fire came back in full force is immaterial to me. And that's why Rav Moshe says, if the blech falls off, and I saw that the Sefer Shvus Yaakov quotes Rabbi Yoshev that held the same way, and so too does the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasoi quote Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it wouldn't help. Because you're relying on a heker, and the heker isn't here when your blech fell off. But then the Gemara speaks about another type of ketima. Then the Gemara speaks about a ketima, not where you have a heker, like we just mentioned a moment ago. B'cholim shamamu, your coals were never covered. How are they considered? How does the Gemara use the words b'cholim shamamu or shenasim l'norish l'pishtim harei ketuma? How could the Gemara call that ketuma when you never covered it? The answer is you don't have to cover it. When the fire is diminished, that too is considered ketima. And therefore, says the Gemara, G'chom shamu, your coals are going out. So that's a diminishing of fire. Oy, shenasim l'nurish l'pishtin, you really didn't do a strong heker. I don't need a strong heker in all situations. Because the halach is, as long as I diminished the fire, that is considered ketima. And if we think about this, the wording in our Gemara, in our Mishnayos and the Gemara, point to this pshat very strongly. Because there are two words that seem to be used interchangeably in our Gemara. Sometimes the Gemara uses the words ketma, and sometimes the Gemara uses the words nosan efer. What's the Gemara? Is it ketima or is it nosan efer? Which is it? The answer is it's both. Because ketima and nos and efer are two different things. Nos and efer is an act of heker. And therefore it's very geschmack that Taka the Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, which speaks about the situation of kutma v'hovara, doesn't use the words nos and efer, because all I have is a heker. I don't have a diminishing of fire. In this Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about G'cholim Shamamu, the Gemara uses the words ketuma, because there it means a diminishing of fire. So actually we have two very different halachic terms. We have a terminology called ketima, which means a heker, showing that you're not interested in the fire. And we have another terminology of ketima, which means the diminishing of fire. And both are fine to allow us to do shia or chazara according to the machlokes of Chananya and the Rabbanan.